on 1116 SEN. Hungry for sport with Kevin Bartlett for Penfold Mazda, celebrating 50 years of the Penfold family.
9:07, good morning and welcome to the program. Mick Malthouse spoke today on Morning Glory, and I expect Carlton to sack Mick Malthouse today after his heartfelt comments. Mick is baffled by why he has to coach two more games before he's officially waved goodbye. As he said today, what can the Carlton hierarchy possibly learn in 2 weeks that they don't know about a 30-year career? This charade must end by the Blues, and the club must stop playing games with their coach. On Sunday, the board said they would not move on the coaching decision until later in the season. Then late yesterday, realising that they've turned this into a soap opera that they are directing, said Mick has two more games before the bye to prove his worth. Mick sees no point in that call. The coach is being humiliated into continuing before the guillotine falls. And that is ridiculous. I'm KB. That's my take.
If people can judge me after 30 years, what's two more weeks mean? I'd lose it totally, or I gain more knowledge about it, or I... There's not a lot to gain by 2 weeks, is there? I don't really get... If you don't know about the person now, what does 2 weeks show? I'm not going to let them down because they deserve better. I will give them as much as I can, along with my rest of my match win. I've been in a position on the other side for 30 years arguing the case that it's damn ridiculous. Mm. And I still think it's damn ridiculous, but I don't run football clubs. I'm part of a football club. Good boards stay sound. Boards crack under pressure, and the first thing that goes is the coach, because it relieves a bit of the pressure. They beat their chest and they made a decision and they move on, but very few of them ever work.
You're not going to stand down though, are you, Mick? I mean, sack you, aren't they?
No, Tim, you're spot on. I will not be standing down.
Okay, so they're going to have to say, Mick, you're sacked, you're no longer the coach of the Carlton Football Club.
That or you've been reappointed.
Yeah, and, but you're not expecting that, are you?
No.
Well, there was Mick Malthouse this morning, and there's from Morning Glory today, and a great job by the boys on Morning Glory. Mick dared the club Carlton today to sack him today. He's had enough of this humiliation. Not a lot to gain in 2 weeks' time. 9:42, 9:11, 9:16. Give us your thoughts on that interview. I expect Carlton to sack Mick Malthouse today, probably this morning, on what he had to say today, because he has lost complete trust and he's being humiliated by the club, and he said, enough is enough. 9:42, 9:11, 9:16, 0433 98 11 16. I'd like to hear from Carlton fans how they believe that this Carlton board has handled this whole situation with Mick Malthouse. 0433 98 11 16. If you want to send through an SMS, if you want to tweet at Kevin Bartlett 29, or you can tweet at Hungry for Sport. Coming up, Patrick Smith will join us. He'll be taking your calls. He's got famous gibberish of the week as well. Also, we'll catch up with Brett Phillips with the tennis coming from the French. Get something off your chest always in the second hour. Steve Salisbury will bring us up to speed with all the States sport coming out of the States. Got the NBA playoffs at the moment. And Dr. Turf, as we know, will be quirky and very antagonistic. Certainly, I'll have plenty to say about the Carlton board as well from 11 o'clock. 9:42, 9:11, 9:16, coming up, Patrick Smith.
Any chance you just don't worry about the words and start with showing your intent with some actions? Now, the bottomless pit of idiocy behind those comments by both men is both chilling and disturbing. If you're harassed, short of King hitting, go for it. Now, that is insane. So inappropriate. If we didn't have WADA, we wouldn't have sport. Because nobody would believe one thing that they saw on a football field, a track field, a swimming pool, anything.
On Hungry for Sport, Patrick Smith.
Patrick, good morning.
Good morning,
what
Kevin.
What time today do you think Carlton will sack Mick Malthouse?
Well, I think I can't pinpoint the time, but I reckon I can pinpoint the day. It has to be today, Kevin. I think you absolutely read that comments of Mick Malthouse with that very good interview the boys did with him. Morning Glory, I think you read the tone of that very well. He's saying, there's no point in me coaching for 2 weeks. You either know me or you don't know me. Sack me or reappoint me today.
Well, this club has created this this atmosphere, this blood atmosphere, yet again seem to be balking at making a decision.
Yes, and for a club, of course, that so famously made decisions in a second, some quite wrong, on coaches... it's now not handling this one at all. This is just dragging out to, you're quite right, embarrassing levels.
Humiliating.
Humiliating for Malthouse. Now, you may say Malthouse brought this on himself in various ways. Fine, okay. But that doesn't justify the end of a legend that the way Carlton is doing it now.
Could you imagine over the next couple of weeks, got Sydney and Adelaide, that is going out addressing the players at quarter time and three quarter time, and the crowd there saying, "What the hell is this bloke doing? Yeah. How ridiculous is this?
Why are we wasting time here as a club? Why aren't we trying different people?"
Players looking back at Mick thinking, you know, poor Mick's about to get the chop, and here he is trying to rev us up and get us to play some good football and, you know, get in hard for the ball and try and run and create. And this poor soul is not going to be here next week.
Yeah, and exactly, Kevin. And, you know, why should Mick, that's great, but why should I do that? You're unimportant all of a sudden.
Pat, why is the Carlton board... I'll get to our callers in just a second, because I know you're lining up to have your say, because that was explosive stuff this morning by Mick Malthouse. But why do you think the Carlton board has been so inadequate at handling this situation?
Well, I think what happened was when Mark Lagudice came on board halfway through last year, there was a determination that the club would act very differently under him than it had under previous presidents and different boards. And that is that they'd be very stable, they wouldn't act quickly, they wouldn't make quick decisions, there'd be a process and they'd work right through that process. And they've withdrawn, they've sort of cringed back from that process day by day now. You know, Sunday it was towards the end of the year, Monday it was round 11. Today, it's got to be today, Kevin. I think that's the problem. They've tried to change the image of the club and show it to be a process-driven club and not one that made decisions in a split second, which it previously did on coaches. So that's what's happened to Malthouse. He's been caught up in this.
But they failed to read, Pat, that they were dealing with a coach who's been there for 30 years, the longest-serving coach. Now, as Mick said today, if you've been coaching for 2 years, you might say, you know what, we want to have a look at him over the next 2 or 3 weeks, just to have a look at how he's going. You could do that with a coach who's been coaching for 2 years. But when you actually say you're going to have a rebuild, and we've got a coach who's been coaching for 30 years, but we are not going to appoint that coach until the end of the season, if we do appoint that coach, they failed to take on board that they're talking about a coach who'd been in the game for 30 years.
No, I'm sure they took that on board.
That was the most important point when they worked out their plan. They forgot to actually get into their head that they weren't talking about a second-year coach coaching Carlton when they made those comments. They're talking about the longest-serving coach of all time.
No, that's the most important point maybe to you and me. The most important point to the board, this board, was process, and they would not be pushed. That was what their thinking was all along. We will change our stripes. We will be a club of process. And thinking that, being committed to that, they didn't see the obvious. And the obvious has hit them in the face this morning.
Let's take some calls. 9429 1116. I'll tell you what, I'll take a break first and then I'll come back and we'll fly through all your calls.
Our list is shallow. I mean, everyone knows that. I mean, let's not kid it, beat around the bush. The list is shallow. Recruitment has been an issue, but that's in the past. And we're not going to start to regurgitate that. It's no use doing that. You've got to go forward.
Malthouse, we've seen just how shallow that list is at Carlton. Let's hit the lines and we'll take your calls and get your feelings. Pete's from Preston. Good day, Peter.
Yeah, good morning, boys. Look, I'm embarrassed to be a Carlton supporter today, mate. They talk about they can't handle the pressure. They've had 7 weeks of it. Have a look at Essendon. I hate Essendon, mate, but they've had 4 years of pressure. They haven't bowed to the media and the parasites like Caroline Wilson and Johnny Ralph. This is absolute disgrace. Ledoux to say he could resign. He was part of the board that appointed Mick and got rid of Ratton. Just have a big clean out. All the members rise and just get rid of them all.
Well, that's the next thing, Kevin, isn't it? Once the spotlight turns off the moment, and that's Malthouse's immediate future, I think the whole football world will then study and look at what Carlton has done as a board and as a club.
You're suggesting a challenge from those from the outside looking in?
There has to be, surely, Kevin. You couldn't be a Carlton member, love your club, and allow this board to continue.
Carlton fans, have you lost complete confidence in your board? Chris is in Roxburgh Park. G'day, Chris.
Yeah, good morning, fellas. Look, I agree with what Mick said about, you know, he's been there 30 years and coaching in 2 weeks more isn't going to make any difference. You know, if it was a coach, an inexperienced coach who hadn't experienced success and won premierships, and then, yeah, sure, maybe you'd have a look at him. But the thing is, we know Mick can coach. Mick's got the runs on the boards. And I just think instead of sacking Mick, the Carlton board could really show some strength by giving him a 3-year contract extension.
Well, yeah, I don't think that's going to happen, Chris. I don't think Mick thinks that's going to happen. Look, sometimes, Pat, the most important thing is, even if you don't want someone to be a coach or you don't want someone to be a player, the most important thing is that you treat that person with respect.
Well, that is always the most important
and
thing.
And that is something that Mick Malthouse has not been getting from this Carlton board.
No.
Wayne is in Greensboro. G'day, Wayne.
I'm in absolute despair about what's going on. I think one of the few decent decisions the Kernaghan administration made was to appoint Mick as coach, but they saddled him with the results of some incredibly inept and incompetent recruiting. Now, we have here a board. The board is simply a board full of tossers who are only interested in using the club to further their business interests. So that's the problem where we're at the moment. They have no idea how to run a club, no idea at all, and it seems as though they're not going to pay any penalty. The players are not going to pay any penalty, and Mick is the one who's going to suffer. And I am in absolute despair. I just call on all Carlton members to rise up, get together, and form some group that can get rid of this mob. The unelected president, the Kernaghan acolyte, who simply took over, but he was part of the decision making, as were most of them over the last 10 years. So they have to take responsibility. And I'm sorry, but they have failed. They have failed dismally, and it's time they went.
Wayne, appreciate your call. Carlton fans, do you agree with Wayne? Adam's on the road. G'day, Adam.
G'day, boys. How are you going?
Good, Adam.
I hate to say I'm an Essendon supporter, but I look at this from the outside. I'll make a couple of quick points.
Yep.
That it's pretty stark. So Carlton replaces their coach. They go through and lose every game for the rest of the year and get tarnished, win the wooden spoon. They've achieved nothing by getting rid of Mick. Second, what the last caller just said about the board is completely right. Now, I know that my club hasn't covered ourselves in glory by any means, but if we didn't have the people in charge of our club, like the Paul Littles and that stood up and weathered the pressure and actually made decisions, whether they were the right ones or the wrong ones, at least they did something. Carlton's board at the moment, I think someone said this morning, oh, half of them are overseas and half of them are here and half of them are there. You know what? Get together on a voice call, do something, but make some decisions, because at the moment, your club is dying by 1,000 cuts. And to be honest, you tell me, who is going to want to come to that club and coach? If someone turns in and says, here's a 3-year contract, what faith would they have that they would actually have the backing of the club or the board or the players to actually see out what they're going to start out on?
None. Absolutely none, if that same board is in place.
Tommy,
if Mick Malthouse could not get a certain amount of peace, if you like, just to do the thing that he knows how to do, probably better than most, then Johnny come lately, whoever gets it now, he's on a hiding to nothing.
Adam, thanks for that. Tommy's in Reservoir. G'day, Tom.
Morning. I'm just wondering how much responsibility the media should take for all this. Last few years, they've been asking for James Hurt to get sacked. Now, you know, the club's been standing firm from the start of the year saying we'll evaluate his position halfway through the year. I guess at the end, the club had to do something because every week it became a circus about when are they going to do anything about Malthouse.
Yeah, who triggered all that, Tommy? This season, it was triggered initially by Malthouse by saying that if they just extend his contract now rather than later in the year, that would reassure his coaches and the players because it was starting to destabilise the team. So who set fire to this issue this year? Mick Malthouse. Who was unable to put the fire out? The board. The media purely recorded what was happening between the coach and the board. So the media's played no part in this other than reporting it.
And also picking up on the fact, Tom, that Carlton was at some stage going to sack Mick Malthouse, that decision has been made by the Carlton board. But they won't tell their members and they won't tell Mick when it's going to take place. And therefore, he's being humiliated.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's not of the media's making.
No.
I think, look, the media's in many ways been, for a man who has such a sour relationship with the media, I would have thought the media has been quite supportive of Malthouse through this issue.
They have been.
Yeah.
I think most people have pointed out, Tom, that, you know, you've got a celebrated coach, the longest serving coach and premiership coach, who has put up his hand to want to continue the job. But Carlton, of course, have never jumped on board or embraced the fact that Mick might be coach next year. And that's why I said, Pat, that when they made all those comments, they forgot that they had a coach that was coming out of contract, that was the longest serving coach and celebrated coach, and they're talking about rebuilding Carlton over 3 or 5 years' time, and yet saying, you know what, we're committed to it, but we're not going to commit our coach to it.
No, they were blind to it, Kevin, absolutely.
Blind to it. Yep. Dean's in St Kilda. G'day, Dean.
Yeah, g'day, Kevin. G'day, Patrick. Look, I'm a Carlton member, and the board's been dysfunctional for 15 years. I think Jeannie's the vice president and still wants the Viola back to play, but we'll leave that there. But Mick's had the job, Kevin, for 2.5 years, and I can go through Laidlaw, who didn't follow his game plan, playing well for Sydney. I give you Garland and Robinson when we needed depth. Now, they lied to him, but so did Shaw and Dydak. I can give you making Murphy captain when Kane Simpson was the same as Nick Maxwell should have been made captain. I can give you hundreds of examples of his game plan, et cetera. Non-competitive over the last 3 weeks, all the footage of the defensive effort. And some stage, the buck has to stop with you, but I understand that the board are not doing it in the right way. But let's, Mick's doing the same thing that happened with Collingwood at the end. He's on the media, trail. And, there's a common denominator in both those instances, Kevin and Patrick, I would have thought.
Well, no, look, I wrote on Monday that Mick Malthouse talked himself out of a greater legacy at Collingwood, and he's brought this on here at Carlton by, speaking out of school or speaking, almost taunting Carlton, and he taunted Collingwood in his last year. Now, I agree with all of that, but that still does not excuse the incompetence and the inability of this board to seize the moment.
You can certainly debate whether Mick is the right man to coach Carlton. There's no doubt about that. But once that was debated within the the walls of Carlton, and that board came up with the fact that Mick was not going to be the coach, what's taken place since then and what they have said at different stages has led to this atmosphere of humiliation.
Yep.
We'll take a break. 9:42, 9:16. Sports Central is coming up as well. We'll come back. I know you're lining up to have your say, and we want to hear it.
Stephen Trigg assured us, when he arrived, you don't take it too personally. He said, we, being Adelaide, had him stitched up 18 months out. It's very, very difficult when you come to a football club and, a bloke like that plays very cautious football, because he certainly, his mind was everywhere else. He's trying to do the right thing, but when you've got that load of, will I go, won't I go, but I've already signed.
There's Mick discussing Eddie Betts' contract situation. I find that incredible that Eddie Betts could be stitched up 18 months out, Pat, because obviously you're allowed to talk to players, but as we know, the AFL, you are not allowed to sign players or have any agreement with a player.
Yes, I don't quite. We'd have to, delve into
that. The AFL would have to check on that, wouldn't they?
Well, what does he mean by stitched up?
Yeah.
That's the point. I mean, has he got a nod, or has he signed papers? Or that would have to be looked at. But I don't think it automatically means that there's been a massive breach, but it certainly needs to be looked at.
Let's go to our callers, 9:42, 9:11, 16. And Simon is in Ascot Vale. G'day, Simon.
Oh, g'day, guys. Just a couple of points. I'm just trying to be reasonable about it. People talking about going back to Ratten. Ratten's last year at Carlton was terrible. And what happened there with that whole Favola incident at club at that time, they didn't do a great job. So I think the club's got to look forward, not backwards. People shouldn't be ringing up about that. Firstly, just on Le Judiger, I think the first sign that there was trouble was when he announced that the club had a $1.6 million operating loss on draft night last year. I think that was a little bit of an act of cowardice to drop that on that night when he knew there wouldn't be any advertising. Essendon managed to run an operating profit last year with everything that was happening and their legal bills, and we ran a $1.6 million operating loss. The coach is the least of the club's problem. My understanding is the club is still somewhere over $10 million in debt. So I don't know that they even have the resources to fix the problem, even if they knew how, which clearly they do not. That's the first thing. The other thing I would say is that people need to realise that we nearly need a special general meeting to remove the board now. The board has put a special vetting program in place which stops members of the board being voted out. Really, it is utterly disgraceful. And finally, I would say this. The financial status of the club and the recruiting of the club has been totally degenerative and disgraceful. The financial management of this club over a decade for someone, myself, who has been a CEO or a general manager of a small business, it is outrageous. There is no way I would be employed in the last 10 years in my job if I ran a company the way this club has been run. It is an utter disgrace.
Well, fair to, fair to Carlton. They've got a, if you're talking about recruiting, well, they've got Stephen Silvani in now. They've got a new CEO in this year. So to be fair, they've probably looked at some of those situations and decided to have new personnel.
But surely this board just at the next election just puts itself up. They all put themselves
when
up
when is the next election, Pat?
I wouldn't know, Kevin.
In football clubs, that's always a good question. When is the next election?
Well, they could call. Surely they could call one.
Well,
anyway.
You need a special general meeting, according to Simon. They've changed their criteria.
Well, then they
criteria.
Can call it. The board should call it and put themselves up. If they're not prepared to stand down, put yourselves up. Put yourself to the members and say, see what the members think of your performance.
Well, does any Carlton fan out there, Carlton member or Carlton supporter or footy fan, but particularly, I suppose we can direct this to Carlton people, do you believe that your board is doing a good job? It seems so far that there's a lot of people have a lot of heartburn with this Carlton board.
But that's not a tough question, Kevin.
Well, there may be others. That gives the opportunity for those who might support the board to say something, Pat.
Fair enough.
Mel is in Altona Meadows. G'day, Mel.
Yeah, g'day, guys. This is all about Mick Malthouse. Mick sport it on himself. When he parted from Footscray, he said he's passing shots, taking up a nice big contract over at WA. The only way yous can survive is if you merge. Then he took on over there. Then he went to Collingwood with a big contract. Didn't fulfil it at Collingwood either. Nicked off. And now he's opened his mouth up. He wants the sack. He wants out. You can just tell. Good riddance to Mick Malthouse. Please don't join the media. Just go away.
Okay, so that's anti-Mick. He's blaming Mick for a lot of the things that have taken place at Carlton. Go away, he says, Mel. Tim is in St Kilda. G'day, Tim.
Yes, good morning, KB. Like I said many times in the past, the fish rots from the head. And Mick Malthouse's been there for 2.5 years and we're on the bottom of the ladder. He's brought an entourage of posses around. They've done nothing. The players have got the lying is the second language of the AFL, and the players say they've got their full support. They're talking waffles because they play like they don't want him there. They don't want Daisy Thomas there. But Dudashay has inherited a big problem, and he should, you know, put his hand up and say, "I've got to go because I'm part of the problem, not part of the solution." The new president should be Colin DeLutis, successful businessman, and he's self-made, and he will get the club up and running. Carlton haven't sacked Mick Malthouse because they can't afford it due to the loss. Previously in last year, and it's a financial position and a financial predicament where they don't have the Pratt family in their pocket no more. And I tell you what, major problems at Carlton, major problems. I think we should just be defunct, put us in receivership, and I'll find a new footy team. I'm telling you right now, boys, not only the coach, but the president needs to go.
It is remarkable that we've sent expansion teams up into Queensland and into Sydney in the last 5 years. The worst performing club is one of the oldest, Carlton. That is remarkable that Carlton, with all its experience and enormous supporter base and history, is imploding. Well, you've got a club like, say, the Giants. They've had 6 wins and 2 losses. How could Carlton be this inept?
May not have many supporters of the Giants, but they're playing good football.
Football, Kevin, it's so inept what they've done with this board.
Scott is in Keilor Downs. G'day, Scott.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Scott, we're going well, thank you.
That's good. I think the Carlton people, I mean, I'm a Bulldog supporter, so I know how hard it used to be down the bottom of a ladder, but I don't think the Carlton people know how to be down there. That's why they go and sack coaches.
They're getting pretty good at it now.
Yeah, well, but I'm just saying, like, with the Bulldogs were, you know, down and out, you know, back in the early 70s, and, you know, before Malthouse came along. Then Malthouse came along at the Bulldogs and made it, you know, like a really good club. Now, the Bulldogs since then has improved, you know, out of sight of stage. But Carlton have gone complete opposite, and they don't know how to do it. That's why they don't set coaches, because they need the success. I mean, they've got one of the best coaches in the league history, and there's nothing against it. I reckon they should give him an extension. Okay, Carlton people are going to say, "Oh, we don't need him," but I think they do.
It's interesting, Pat, that two of the greatest coaches in history have virtually been destroyed by coaching Carlton.
Set fire to, Kevin.
Dennis Pagan,
two-time premiership coach, had an extraordinary record at North Melbourne. I think missed the finals once in 9 years or something. Clearly an elite coach. Came to Carlton, burnt, gone. And now you've got the longest-serving, a legend, 3 years. Not even 3 years, Kevin, because he'll go today, surely, gone.
Well, we'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll take more of your calls, 9429 1116. If you want to send through an SMS, 0433981116. If you want to tweet at Kevin Bartlett 29 or Hungry for Sport. Now, Tom Brown of Channel 7 News reporter on Twitter says, despite Mick clearly going rogue this morning, the club is adamant a short time ago the timeline will be on their terms. They realise things can change, but Carlton's adamant Malthouse won't be sacked today.
Dear me. They are asking for a hammering. Heavens above, Kevin.
If they were upset that Mick actually, you know, made comments about the rebuild, which upset Carlton enormously.
Which put him on a last warning, by the way.
Well, my understanding is, and I think a lot of people in the media's understanding is that, you know, he was given a warning that if they, you know, don't perform better against Sydney, well, that was it. You're out the door.
He was given that warning and he was given another warning not to rattle the cage again with comments.
Yeah, so
well, he's rattled the cage.
It's fallen apart, the cage.
The cage has
the cage fell apart.
Yes.
It fell apart. Maybe that's might be a nomination for Gibberish of the Week. Is it too late to get a late nomination for Gibberish of the Week from Carlton?
It is, Kevin.
Is it?
Yeah,
okay.
It's locked in.
We'll come back with Pat's famous Gibberish of the Week and we'll take more of your calls, 9429 1116.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Yes, Gibberish of the Week, and that's Patrick's famous award, of course, named after Tora Brighton. You can always agree or disagree with Patrick's nomination.
Now, Kevin, this has got a Carlton flavour to it.
Has it?
I wrote last week, and we discussed it on radio, that Carlton should look at the position of Clarkson, see whether they can get him as coach. I did not appoint him coach. I did not hire him.
No.
And Carlton have not gone and got him.
You said it was due diligence. Because we all knew then that Mick wasn't going to be coaching next year.
Because, Kevin, he's got a... Clarko's got a year to go on his contract.
Yes.
But that's fine. You won't know your answer until you ask. Like Fremantle went to Ross Lyon and said, any chance? And Ross Lyon said, what do you got? And the offer was fantastic, and he was pinched from St Kilda.
I think Adelaide did the same with Gary Ayres.
Yes, Kevin, you've got to do it. You've got to find out who's available. But the interesting thing is the response from Chester Newbold, and it's this.
I think he must be on something that would come under the illicit drugs code.
Smoking bombs, no. Patrick Smith. I'm getting an image now.
I don't understand that comment, to be honest. I mean, he's contracted to our club. He's a, you know, we require him, and there's nowhere known that he's going anywhere.
Well, I'd say to Chester, who we know is Deputy Marshal to Eddie Maguire, I'd say to Chester, if you don't know why that was raised, then maybe you're not the man for the job. Because if you don't think clubs or your own club would ever consider at the appropriate stage going for the best coach in the competition, then you probably need to reconsider your position. Chester.
This is Chester from the Gunsmoke days.
Yes.
Matt Dillon.
Yeah, it's Chester. He was a deputy.
Deputy.
And he's Eddie's deputy because Eddie says comes on and says, whatever he says will be something extravagant like...
play football on the moon?
We are going to play the first game on the moon. 20 minutes later, Chester would be on the phone and their opponents will be Hawthorn.
Okay. 9429 1116 if you'd like to join us. Just on Carlton, Pat, unfortunately for the club, butt of jokes at the moment, the footy world is laughing at the club. I was at the under-8s game on Sunday watching one of my grandkids play, and they have some of the boys from the under-17s, which is... you know, the big boys, and they come down. They have them as buddies, but they come down, and at the breaks, they ask some of the under-17 boys to actually tell the under-8 kids how they're going. as a bit of a, you know, a buddy program. And down at the Rovers on the weekend, I went out there and listened to the young boy speak and from the under-17s, and he said to the under-8 kids, he said, "I'm very, very impressed with the way that you played in that first quarter. So impressed am I think you could beat Carlton." That's what he said.
Well, that's it caught in a sentence, Kevin. That's Carlton's dilemma.
Tim is in Bundoora. G'day, Tim.
G'day, fellas. Look, I'm a bit miffed by how everyone can... But Mick Malthouse is probably the best coaching at the moment, in my opinion, on experience based in the decades that he's coached. Oh, I just can't understand for the life of me why Carlton would want to get rid of him. Basically, the supporters, the media, everyone's jumped on the bandwagon. It's quite obvious that, you know, I honestly believe that the players are the ones doing the talking out in the field. Like, you know, the players just aren't up to it. And, yeah, OK, they've got Silvani there to actually sort that out. I think that's going to be great for the club. I really think they should have a massive clean-out, keep Mick there and start all over again. That's my opinion. Yeah, you look at Brendan McCartney, like, the Western Bulldogs have had a great year, and it's all due to what he did. You know, Mick did it at Collingwood, he did it at West Coast, he did it at, well, not so much at West Coast, but he did it at Western Bulldogs even, you know. For Christ's sake, get off Mick's back, everybody. He's the best coach going around, in my opinion. And, you know, current supporters, look, just take a breath. You're going to be down the bottom of the ladder for a bit, okay? Big deal. I'm a Richmond supporter. So,
I think, though, that most current supporters are in Mick's corner here. It's their board that has been a shambles, the way that they've handled this.
And it is. Now that's the issue, how the board's handled it. Absolutely. Yeah.
What about with the press conference, obviously, when Mick finally is told to go? I wonder if Mick will sit beside Stephen Trigg or LaJudice at one of those press conferences, which always seem to me to be a little bit uncomfortable when the coach gets sacked. And for some reason, maybe it's because of payout reasons, they're sort of forced to sit there next to the people who have sacked them, who say what a great person they are and what a great job they've done. But and they want to wish them all the best for the future. I just wonder, I've always thought that when this happens, shouldn't the AFL Coaches Association hold their own press conference for the sack coach, where they put up the AFL coach's own sponsors and all that sort of stuff? And then the coach doesn't have to be, well, virtually embarrassed to be sitting there in front of a group of people with the people who have sacked him and no longer want him as coach. Wouldn't the AFL Coaches Association be the best served to hold those press conferences themselves? And then the coach can say, you know, look, I've done my best and I'm disappointed I haven't been able to finish the job, whatever. But isn't it...
Cut out a lot of lies.
Isn't it a bit more savoury?
Stop a lot of lies, Kevin. I think that's a very good suggestion, and it would give something for the Coaches Association to do. So they'd be hanging out for coaches to be sacked. So they say, well, that's something we could do.
I know you're anti the Coaches Association, Pat.
No, it's a very important body, and it's a very, very busy body, Kevin.
But I've just always thought that when a coach gets sacked...
I think it's a good idea.
Surely the Coaches Association is the one that has its own press conference and brings that coach in, because he's part of that coaches association, and that press conference is done under their imprimatur.
And the club, and presumably the football manager of the club, would do theirs separately.
Correct.
Yeah. I think that's a very good idea.
We'll take a break.
Adam Goods can play with injuries, as was seen in last year's grand final. He's a champion. He's gutsy at playing with his own injuries. But when it comes to putting his head over the ball and copping body on body, he chooses to go feet first at other people's peril.
That was Dermot from 2013, after watching Adam Goode slide into Josh Gibson's legs.
Yep.
A lot of
which he was cleared of, by the way.
A lot of Hawthorn people believe that's why the booing takes place. I noticed today in the Australian, Pat, you've written a story about Adam Goode, and you're telling us that Gillon McLachlan, the CEO of the AFL's chief, could not remember it as being as obvious and as constant as the booing was at the MCG. He knows it does not reflect well on his competition and code.
Yeah.
People are suggesting they're booing him because of that incident with Josh Gibson. You disagree?
Oh, well, that's just, you know, say they're booing him for that incident. That's just camouflage, Kevin. What they really are booing is Goods. They don't like him. They don't like the way he confronts them on issues of race. They don't like that he picked out a 13-year-old girl. That's what it's all about. The rest is camouflage.
Was he too demonstrative towards the 13-year-old girl?
Well, obviously, the Boers think he was, Kevin. I'm not convinced that he was.
Patrick, we'll have a chat next week.